I'd like to read in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. The labour of fools wearieth them, because they know not how to go to the city. The labour of fools wearieth them, because they know not how to go to the city. I expect most people in the world and most people in this room will one day be hoping to reach heaven. People in the world today have a far-off thought, don't they, that when they die and leave this earth, that they're going to end up in heaven. That's the hope of lots of people. But you know, how many know how to get there? Lots of people have no idea how to get to heaven. Or as Ecclesiastes says, how to get to the city. Lots of people, you know, think, and maybe you're one of them, that it doesn't matter which road you take. Doesn't matter which road you take. Eventually, you'll get to heaven. You'll get to be in this place of paradise when you die. Maybe you think if you follow the Ten Commandments, or you try and do everything the best you can, you do your very best to keep what God has said, and you do your best every day, maybe then you'll find your way to heaven. Maybe then you'll find your way to the city. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you keep the whole law, if you keep everything that God said, but you offend, you fail on one point, you are guilty of it all. The Bible says, you know, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're honest with yourself, and if you're honest with your own heart, let us be open and honest with ourselves this evening. We all know that no matter how hard we try, we can't keep what God wants us to keep. We can't do what is right. And we certainly haven't done everything right from the moment that we were born to the moment that you're here today. In fact, if you look back over your life, even just this very day, Sunday the 26th of April or whatever we are today, I'm sure you can think of a number of things that you've said and you've thought and you've done that are wrong. If you offend on one point, you are guilty of it all, and you cannot enter into God's presence. You cannot come in to heaven, because God is a perfect God, and we are not perfect. God cannot have something that is imperfect in his presence. Maybe you think, well, from now on then, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start again. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And from now on, I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm going to do everything that I can to do what's right. And then God's surely going to show me into the gates of heaven. Well, let me turn you back a couple of chapters. Turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is back 2 pages. Page 823. Verse 15, the end of verse 15. Says, God bringeth back again that which is past. Do you know, dear friend, it doesn't matter if you turn over a new leaf today. It doesn't matter if you say, oh, well, there's going to be no more black marks against my name. I'm going to do everything right. What about your old sins? What about the things that you've done up to this point? What about your sinful record that still stands before a holy and a righteous God? Do you think it's strange that God is concerned about your past? Well, it shouldn't be. It's the same in real life. Sometimes, you know, I go and play football with some of the younger guys in Worthing, and I feel very old every time I play. And it costs money to hire the football pitch. It costs about £5. And maybe one day, one week, I forget that £5, and I don't pay the person to book the football pitch. And then the next week, I forget my £5 again, and I don't pay the person to book the football pitch. And then a third week, and I'm now in 3 weeks' worth of debt. And then maybe I think to myself, well, this is terrible. I can't keep doing this. From now on, I'm going to pay that debt every time I play football. I'm going to bring my money, and I'm going to pay that debt on the day. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Well, what about all the money that I owed before? What about that 3 weeks' worth of debt that I'd accumulated? And you see, that's the same with you and me. Doesn't matter about turning over a new leaf now. What about all the sins that you've committed in the past? You see, dear friend, you cannot undo the past. You cannot undo the sins that have already been done. You cannot work your way into blessing. You cannot work them off. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you think that you're so good that you must be on the right road to heaven. You've never done anything that bad. You've never done anything terrible like you read about or watch on the news. Maybe you think you're doing all right. That overall, the good things that you're doing are going to outweigh the bad things. And that ultimately, God's going to look at your life and see that, yeah, overall, you're a good person. And you're relying on the good things that you've done. All the helpful and the kind and the generous things that you might have done in your life. Do you think that will find your way into heaven? Do you think that will be your ticket to get into the blessing of God? Let me take you into the New Testament. Can we turn to Luke and chapter 18, page 1252, if you've got the same translation as me. Luke chapter 18, and starting at verse 9. And Jesus spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and made nothing of all the rest of men this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee standing prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterous, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in a week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know, what does God say about the things that you think that you've done right in your life? It says here, this man, the tax gatherer, went down to his house justified rather than the other. The man that trusted in himself, the man that thought that he was on a good path, the man that thought he could list off this long list of things that he'd done well in his life, went down to his house unjustified and still away from God. And it's the same with you and me. If we trust in ourselves and we trust in the things that we've done well and the trust in the things that we have done and the good things that we've done in this life, we'll find still that we fall far short of God's expectations, because God expects perfection. And dear friend, if you're honest with your heart, you know that you fall far short of perfection. What does the Bible say anyway? It says all of our righteousnesses, all of our good things are as filthy rags. They're worthless before a holy and a righteous God. It's a bit of a sad situation, isn't it? But still you say, oh, well, I come to church, I go to the meetings, I read my Bible, I pray, and they're all good things. And as a Christian, those are things that you should be doing. You know, I want to ask you the question tonight. Yes, you might be doing all those things, but do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus? Do you know what it is to have your sins forgiven and your guilt and your burden completely removed? Or is it just something that you hear about on a weekly basis and you kind of assume maybe that you're part of the group that has had that happen to them? Well, there's no such thing. You've got to come individually to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in him your personal saviour. It's no good if your parents are saved. It's a great thing that they are, and it's an amazing thing to be brought up in a Christian home. Maybe your parents aren't saved, but maybe your friends are. Maybe your other relatives are. Maybe you know people at this church here that are saved. In the eyes of God, what's important tonight is whether you are saved. God is speaking to you directly tonight and asking the question, what have you done with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you heard about him spoken from this desk week by week and walked out of that room completely indifferent? Have you walked out of that room, this room here, week by week, rejecting the gospel, saying you'll do it next week, saying you'll do it next time? Or do you know what it is to have your sins forgiven, to have peace with God, and to have your burden of guilt completely removed. Oh, well, I hope that it's that one. I hope that that is the position you find yourself in tonight, because you can do. The door of mercy stands open, and and the Lord Jesus Christ stands ready and waiting and willing to save all those that will come to him. But you know, we read about these few rows here. The way to the city. Read about trying to keep God's commandments. We read about turning over a new leaf. Read about thinking that you might be good enough. There's a verse in Proverbs, and it says, "The way there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death." All those roads are actually really the same one. They'll all lead in the wrong direction, and they certainly won't lead you to heaven. They certainly won't lead you to the Saviour. You cannot enter heaven. You cannot come into God's blessing on your own accord or on your own merit. That means on your own worth, because of what you've done. God's not interested in what you've done. He's interested in what his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done. Let me turn you to one last verse. John chapter 14, page 1289. John chapter 14 and verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe on God, believe also on me." This is Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. And ye know where I go. Ye know the way." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. And how can we know the way?" Jesus says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." You cannot enter heaven. You cannot enter the city still in your sins. As we said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know there is a way. And that way is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you, dear friend, if you're still in your sins. You are lost and away from God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not pointing you to the way. He is the way. He is the way into the presence of God. He is the way to know what it is to have sins forgiven. He is the way to know what it is to have peace with God. He is the way to know what it is to be justified and free. It is through Jesus Christ alone. Christ suffered on that cross, you know, the just for the unjust. Why? To bring us to God. And you know that blood that was shed on that cross. John, in his epistle, it says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." There's no sin that you've done that God doesn't know about. And you know you can be absolutely sure that there is absolutely no sin that God is going to miss when it comes to cleansing you in the precious blood of Christ. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've ever done. And yet, and by that, you can then have the assurance that no sin will be missed when it comes to forgiveness. You can stand before him as being completely forgiven. Sins washed away. Guilt removed. Peace with God, a hope in your heart, and joy and gladness in your heart too, because of what Christ has done. He cleanses us from all sin. There was a preacher called C.H. Spurgeon, and there's a lovely quote that I think about. I've got it written down here in my Bible with this verse: "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Spurgeon said that Jesus is not one of many ways. He's not even the best of many ways. He is the only way. And you know, dear friend, tonight, there is one way to the city. There is one way to knowing your sins are forgiven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Well, dear friend, what are you going to do with the man that stands ready and waiting and willing to forgive? What are you going to do with the man that hung on that cross so that you could go free? What's your response to the gospel going to be tonight? You're going to walk out of that room having still the burden of guilt carrying with you? Or are you going to walk out of that room tonight a free person, knowing your sins are forever washed away, never to be brought up again? Well, dear friend, it comes down to you right here in this moment right now. What are you going to do in response? What are you going to do with your heart that is so far away from God? Well, you can come tonight in repentance and in faith. The work has been done. The door stands open. And dear friend, tonight you have to walk through that door by faith. Take hold of what's been said tonight. Hold it to your heart. Hold it by faith. Believe what God has done and believe what God has said. It's all here in the Bible. It's all been done. The work on that cross stands for eternity. God is satisfied with Jesus. He's satisfied with all he's done. The work is complete. It is finished, was the cry on the cross. And dear friend, tonight it comes down to you in this very moment. What are you going to do in response to the gospel? There are only two ways to respond to the gospel. You accept it or you reject it. Well, dear friend, the prayer of me and many in this room that know Jesus as their own Saviour would be that you come and accept the gospel. You look on the man at the cross and say, that was done for me. And you can come and know what it is to be free and know what it is to have your sins forgiven. Well, dear friend, it comes down to this very moment in time now. What are you going to do with a man called Jesus? He's done everything for you. He stands ready and waiting. He wants you to belong to him. He's done everything for you. He loves you. He wants you. But dear friend, it comes down now to you and your response to the gospel. May you respond to him in repentance and faith and know what it is to have your burden of guilt removed and be on the road that leads to the city, on the road that leads to heaven, where one day you will join with all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be gathered together with all those that have been bought by his precious blood. And you will be there worshipping and praising God in heaven through all eternity. What a hope a Christian has. But I wonder if that's your hope. Is he your Saviour tonight? May you find the way to the city in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake.
Amen.